So this morning we're going to do a little bit of a recap from last 2 weeks' gospel so that we can understand Jesus' conversation with the crowd this morning. So 2 weeks ago we read about Jesus preaching on this mountain and over 5,000 people showed up and they were hungry. Remember that story? And Jesus turned to Philip and said, "Well, can you get food for all these people?" And Philip said, "Oh, where are we going to get? How much? Do you know how much it's going to cost to feed all these people? No matter how much we get, it's never going to be enough." And Jesus insisted, "What do you have?" I remember our teaching that week, if you recall, I asked the question, why does God ask us to do the impossible, what is difficult, when he knows he's going to do it himself? And if you remember, the answer we got was that God asked us to do the impossible so that we can say to him, "You know what, you're asking me to do this, but I can't." He likes to hear the words, "I can't," and then we reach out to him, if you remember. Then last week, after Jesus performed the miracle and done with his preaching, he noticed that his disciples needed some rest. It was summer for them, like for us. And he asked them to go to the other side of the river or the sea to get some rest. And we're told that they went and Jesus went with them, if you remember that story. And in between that, you recall that we learned that when Jesus asked them to go, he went with them. So if you recall, I did say that even in our summer plans, God expects us to go with him because we never take a holiday from God. Now, when Jesus got there, the crowd woke up the next day and there was no free lunch. And they started looking for Jesus. Remember last week we saw that. And eventually they found him and they started complaining, "We've been looking for you all day. Where have you been?" And Jesus said, "I know why you're looking for me." And you recall, I started my homily last week by asking you why you are here. Why are you here? Why were the people looking for Jesus? And if you remember from my teaching last week, I pulled up a menu. And I said, when you go to a restaurant, you're hungry, right? The first thing you are given after you're given water or drink is they pull out the menu and they give you. Nowadays, with COVID, you can pull out the menu on your phone, right? And the waitress or the waiter says, "This is what we have to offer." And you look at it and you say, "This is really, really good." So last week, we saw Jesus pull out a menu for the people. And he said, "You're looking for me because you think I have good food, right? This is what I have to offer you." Today we see the response of the people. They looked at the menu Jesus pulled out. They looked at it, they said, "This is not exactly what we're looking for." And they will not eat in Jesus' restaurant. So I want to begin by asking the question again this morning, like I did last week. Why did the people say no to Jesus' offer of food? Why? Why did they say no? Remember last week I said, no one goes to a restaurant hungry and looks at the menu and finds something that you really like and says, "I think I'm going to come back in 2 weeks. No one does that, right? So why did they say no to Jesus? Why did they say no to the food he was offering them? Anyone? That wasn't the expectation. Thank you. Anyone else? That wasn't the expectation. I like that.
They didn't quite understand what Jesus meant. They talked about the meal that they're going to get.
They didn't have an understanding of what Jesus was talking about. I like that. Yeah?
They were looking for him to feed their physical needs, not their spiritual needs.
They were looking for him to feed their physical needs and not their spiritual needs. They didn't think they were spiritually hungry. Yeah. Yeah, Roseanne, what are you thinking? I see you looking at me intently. The Holy Spirit is saying something to you there. Can you tell us, share with us what the Holy Spirit is convicting you of? Don't tell me there is nothing. Okay. Okay, we're coming. In Langham, some of you know Roger. So he was looking at me like Roseanne is looking. I said, "Roger, spill it out. What's on your mind?" And he said, I'm still thinking. I said, Roger, I've got 45 minutes only to celebrate this Mass. I have to go to Martinsville. It's not, you don't have the whole day to think. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Where's that coming from? I like to see the face. I love your shirt, by the way. I saw it when I was sitting in the crying room. I was supposed to be crying and I saw your shirt. Thank you. What do you mean by the unknown? Sorry? Okay. They had no control of the outcome. I like that. Yeah. They had little faith. Wow, that's very smart. Yeah. Anyone else? Sorry? Okay. They were not ready to make the sacrifices, right? Makes sense. Okay, cannibalism, right?
Yeah, they
can't eat a human flesh. Yeah, I know people still attack us in the Catholic Church too, that we're cannibalists. Yeah, okay, I have a little friend here. He's going to, just listen to this guy. Yeah, no pressure, but I tell you, he's got a lot of wisdom coming now. Yes. They were afraid of what? The danger. Yeah. But are do you live in fear too? Are you afraid sometimes? But do you always remember that Jesus is with you? So you don't have to be afraid. Okay. Anyone else? Stephen. Yeah. None. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Austin, do you have your hand up? No. Okay, that's all right. Okay. Just stretching. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for what? Oh, yeah. They are afraid to surrender ourselves to get something off the menu. That's cool. Yeah. I don't want to say what I want to say now, so I better not say it because I'll be in trouble with all these parents. So let me keep my thoughts to myself. But I'm sure you have an idea of what I was about to say. Okay, let's go back to the subject. So Jesus pulled out the menu and they looked at it and they said, this is not what we want to be. This is not where we want to be. And I was thinking, just like yourselves, unlike you, I had the whole week to think about this. Just reflecting and asking, I said, Holy Spirit, make me understand why these people said no. Because I think in understanding why they said no, we learn a lot of lessons as to what our attitude is to Jesus' invitation, even though we're here this morning. And two things came to mind, and some of you already said it. The first one is that they needed something physical, and Jesus was offering something not physical. These folks were stuck with the miracle they saw a few days ago. Jesus had performed this miracle from 5 loaves, 2 fish. He fed 5,000 people. For them, this was the greatest miracle because it reminded them of what Moses did in the desert. So already in their minds, they are saying, it looks like this is the new Moses. This is the new deal. This is the real deal. Oh, we have an ATM machine now who just dispenses money. We don't have to work. This is what we need. They were stuck with that. They couldn't get past the miracle that had happened 2 days ago or a couple of days ago. And so when they came to Jesus and saying, we think you should be our new prime minister so that you just give us money without work. And Jesus said, what you saw 2 days ago, that's not going to keep you alive. Because when you eat there, you're still going to be hungry. I have something else to offer you that is better than what you saw 2 days ago. And they said, what is it? And he said, my flesh. They said, can we feel it? No. Can we see it? No. Can we taste it? No. Okay, we don't want that. Because what we want is what will physically satisfy our hunger. We like to be able to feel it, to touch, to see, and then we can believe. Does that say so much about you and about me? Can you bring me this? Oh, okay, the ciborium is at the back. Donna, can you get me the ciborium, please? Okay, thanks, Kent. Amanda, just so you know, Kent was not supposed to be here this morning. So it's just Father showing mercy. So he's got to. What's here? What's in here? The bread, yeah. The bread is here. I'm sure you're not used to seeing this, right? Why are we having this here now? Those of you who are older Catholics, you know, in the past, this was what it was. Why do we have the veil? Sorry? The veil. Sorry, I can't hear you. Okay. You're going to theological now for me. Well, just so you know, in the Catholic Church, we only veil what is important. In the Catholic Church, when something is veiled, it shows that that thing is very important. What else is veiled here? This is why women wear veil, because they are precious. We veil only what is important. In the old practice, we've lost that. We've lost a lot of things, right? In the old practice, before, when it is the bread is just in the ciborium, it's left uncovered. But once it's consecrated and is the body and blood of, it becomes the body of Christ, we veil it so that when you see it, you know that there's been a transformation. But what is the problem today? Why can't we see beyond the bread? Why are some people struggling in the Catholic Church with believing in true presence? For many of us, including some of you who are here this morning, even though you've received Jesus a million times, if there's something like that, you still can't go beyond that. You ask it, many Catholics, they'll tell you, it's communion, it's a happy meal. This is why we get mad when other Christians come to church and in the Catholic Church we don't offer them communion. That's not welcoming, we say. Let's forget about the politics that is in the U.S. at the moment. That's not welcoming. Because how can someone come to your house and you're not sharing the meal you have? Well, it's not an ordinary meal. When we talk like that, we suffer from the same problem those people that talk with Jesus, that argued with Jesus this morning had. They could not see beyond the ordinary bread. They wanted what was physical. And if they cannot see it, they cannot believe it. And so when Jesus started offering them something they could not see, they said, no. We don't want that. Don't we see that also in our lives? For 18 months, the saddest time of our lives, we were unable to come to Mass to celebrate the Eucharist. I remember those days and nights when I had to celebrate Mass here virtually alone, maybe with 3 or 4 helpers, and then the camera was just on me. And then at the end, we say together, you remember at home when you're watching, we do the spiritual communion because you could not physically receive Jesus. And I remember how some people struggled when they first came back here and received Jesus for the first time after being away from the Eucharist for months. And they just cried because they finally saw the importance of what they had taken for granted. But the sad thing is, now that the doors are open and we can come back, what is our attitude? Many people are still staying away because they say, it's the same. It's just the same. You know, someone was telling me the other day, you know, the beauty about live stream Mass, Father, is you travel everywhere to attend Mass. It's so beautiful, the person was telling me. It's beautiful, folks, but it's not the real deal. It's not the real deal. It's not the real deal. The real deal is coming to Jesus like we have done this morning and standing before him, unworthy as we are, and the priesthood minister presents Jesus to us and says, "Body of Christ," and we receive him physically. That's the real deal. And we need to go past that, what we think is the real deal, because this is the real deal. The second reason for me why the people said no was because they were stuck, they were hung up in their heritage. They said, "Who is this man to come tell us that we need something in our lives when we know we are complete?" What makes them think they are complete? Because they are Jews. They've been chosen by God, a chosen race. And they said, maybe this man doesn't know our heritage. All the wonders that God worked for us and brought us to this glorious land and chased everyone away and gave us the most beautiful land in the world. And we are God's chosen. Does he know the story? Does he not know the story of Abraham, our father, and Moses, and all the prophets? There is no nation as blessed as our nation. And we're so proud to be part of this nation. And then you come, we know your father, we know your mother. You're telling us that there is something lacking in us when we are sons and daughters of Abraham. They were hung up in their heritage. Do we suffer the same way? Yes, we do. How often do you hear people say, "Well, my parents built this church. We've always attended this church." Thank God this church is not that way, because it's very young, right? "We've attended this parish. My grandfather attended it. My mother attended. My parents attended. Now is the third generation, and I'm coming with it. And we, this is where we always sit." All we boast about is our church membership. But you know what? Church membership doesn't take anyone to heaven. Doesn't. What takes you to heaven is the relationship you have with Jesus. And you grow in that relationship when you have true faith in what is here, because that is what helps you to grow in that relationship. But you know the biggest thing that struck me in today's gospel reading, and I would like to share it with you, and this is it. If you look at that story, for me, it's one of the few times in scriptures where I saw Jesus on the same day getting to the peak of his popularity, and everyone was saying, "Yes, this is the Messiah. We love him. We need him." And they were thronging towards him. They wanted to hear him. The same day, he was at the lowest of his popularity. I give an example. So I come in here. Everybody's expecting Father Peter. We've heard about him. We've never seen him. And the church is packed. And I come in and I start preaching and everyone is excited. And then suddenly I start saying things that are unpopular. And I see faces start changing, dropping. People start snoozing. What do you think I'm going to do next? What should I do next? Go the same message? Is that a natural thing to do? A natural thing to do is to change my message. Yeah, isn't it? Well, if I'm stuck with, which is today's world, with self-image, what am I going to do? I change my message. Did Jesus change his message? They say, why fix something that is not broken, right? He stuck to his message. 3 times today, he told them what they didn't want to hear. Now, how do we see that happening in our world today? Yes, we do. In the church today, how often have we heard people, even Catholics, fervent Catholics, mad with the teachings of the church and saying, how come the church is not changing with the signs of the times? Don't we say that? Well, we've got to change the message so that we can attract people, open the doors and let people in. We have to be welcoming. Yes, we are. But we have a message that doesn't change. That is the message that gives life. You change that message, then no one gets life. And the message is the same. Our work is to change the world. The world doesn't change our message, because the message is the message of eternal life. I'd like to end this long homily by asking you this week to reflect on not just your relationship with Jesus, but what you come in here every Sunday to receive. Because you know what habit is like. Sometimes we get used to doing something without even knowing what we are doing or what it means. So every time you walk up the aisle here to receive communion, I want you to ask yourself this week, what am I receiving? What am I receiving? Do I believe truly that this is the body and blood of Jesus? Am I doubting because I cannot see it? Am I looking for signs to prove to me that this is who he is? Aren't I just like the crowd in today's gospel reading? And just ask the Holy Spirit to help you to come to a true understanding of who Jesus is in the Eucharist, an acceptance of that fact that he's truly present, so that he can come into our lives and give us food that we eat and will never be hungry again. Please stand as we profess our faith.